This is what we call the land of the free and the home of the brave. But today, I'm actually going to stand over here. That's great. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. I just returned from some traveling in Spain. And while I was in Spain, I saw Christopher Columbus statue pointing to the New World. And I was able to explore parts of Spain that showed a bit of the heritage that came over to the United States. The take-home message for me was that this country was founded on the belief that we could be free from spiritual or religious persecution. And today I wanted to talk about true independence. I have a question. To begin with, when you see these pictures, what do these pictures have in common? A little baby in a bottle, a man with a cigarette, a lady with a walker. Have any ideas? What do these pictures all have in common? How about a man on a bridge? All of these people are dependent, aren't they? The baby's dependent on milk. The woman is dependent on the walker to keep her from falling. The man is dependent on cigarettes to help him to stay calm during stressful times. And this man is dependent that this bridge is going to help him get from one side to the other. If we define dependence, dependence is the state of relying on or needing someone or something for aid, support, etc. Independence is freedom from the control, influence, support, aid of others. Is anyone completely independent? Huh? Anyone here? I know you teenagers would like to be independent, but you've got a lot of adults saying they're not independent. So we have come to recognize that we are not truly independent. Some of the dependency areas for humans are real simple. We're dependent on oxygen in the right balance. We're dependent on having blood in our bodies. As an emergency physician, if people don't have blood on in their body, they're going to die. We're dependent on water, on sugar in our body, which gives us energy. We're all dependent on proper temperature. If the planets and the sun were just a small degree off, we would be either frozen or burn up. That was all part of God's design. What else are you dependent on? Some are dependent on money. Certainly all of us need money to feed ourselves, to have shelter. But we've all seen what happened in the last couple years with our world financial crisis. Some of you are dependent on intelligence. Certainly, we all need the ability to think and process if we're working towards independence. But we also see that after the age of 40, we forget our kids' names. We forget our dog's name, and sometimes we confuse the two. So even if we might have seemed pretty intelligent when we were 15 or 16, we seem to get worse in time. Alzheimer's is a real problem. In my travels in Spain, we had presentations from doctors around the world. It was an international conference on longevity and aging. Doctors and scientists from around the world are trying to slow down the process of aging so that we can stay young longer, think more clearly for a longer period of time. Nobody has an answer, just some theories. What else might you be dependent on? Maybe some past successes. Maybe you drive the most expensive car made today. How many of you drive this car? Did I see this in the parking lot? No. I think this is out of our league as far as expensive cars. And some of you have had very nice homes. In terms of the world, all of us live in mansions. As you travel the world in places like Africa and places I've been in South America, you will find people that would just love to have a home, any home of their own. They live in a trash dump, for example. They have no home at all. They may live in an apartment that is very small and has no property around it. Here in America, it's not unusual that we have homes with property and have the ability to have animals. We are the richest people in the world. We are in a privileged place. But as we all know, we can lose things. Hurricanes, earthquakes, disasters. We can't depend on these successes. Lots of good-looking people out there. Raise your hand if you're a good-looking person. Huh? Oh, you should be raising your hands. Lots of good-looking people out there. Now, sometimes our looks can get us different things. There's actually been studies on the response of school teachers to children that are better looking than other children. And they've watched how much time and how much interaction on a video that a teacher will spend with the good-looking children versus the not-so-good-looking children. So we know that people can be treated differently in life depending on what they look like. Certainly we've seen movie stars recently, actors and actresses, that think it's okay to disobey the law because they're good-looking and they're famous. But that's not what has happened to them. Some have served jail time and had other things in their life that made it clear that their good looks was not enough. Besides, our aging problem. So here's a picture of how a person might age over time. And if you men think you're going to get away with it, I brought some pictures of men. Now that could be rather upsetting. It's nothing to look forward to, losing all your hair. So how many of you are depressed now after I've told you about what's to come? How many are feeling a little depressed, huh? Well, there's one more area that we tend to depend on, and that's friends. How many of you have depended on a friend this week for something? Raise your hand. Have you depended on a friend to maybe get you to the airport? Yesterday I dropped off a friend at the airport. Maybe you've depended on a friend to come over and help you with something at the house, make a meal. Maybe a friend to help you at work when you had to get a project done. Now, kids, you're not in school, so maybe you had a friend to just keep you entertained so the days didn't seem so boring and so long, huh? So we all have used friends at some time, and they've used us. But let's look at a story from the Bible when Jesus talks about friends and what friends can do. This is from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I will read it in English, and then Fred will read it in Chinese. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. Okay, can you picture that? I've been talking now for about 5-10 minutes. All of a sudden, the rafters start to shake. There's dropping things on you as you're sitting here trying to listen to me. Did you want to read it in Chinese? Yeah. Oh, you was. Okay. So things are shaking, rattling. There's sound. You can't even hear me because somebody's cutting away at the roof. Here's a picture of what that might have looked like. What does Jesus do about that? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Have any of you ever seen somebody who was paralyzed suddenly get up and walk? Anybody? No? Well, as an emergency physician, I have seen people who had no heartbeat have a heartbeat restored and get up and walk. And I believe that that was the power of God that restored life to them. Certainly we had to do medicines and shock them and different treatments, but it's still God that would bring life back. But when you see things like that, you will never forget. Jesus wants to heal the whole person, not just their body, but their spiritual sickness. Did you notice what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." This man wanted to be free from his paralytic state. He wanted to be physically healed, but Jesus knew he needed spiritual healing. So I want us to think now in terms of the spiritual side, not just physical, but let's think spiritually. Here's a question. What describes you? Are you the paralyzed man in our story? Are you maybe a friend or of the paralyzed man? Or are you one of those observers in the church that watch this take place? Which one are you? Let's look at the paralyzed man first. The paralyzed man was hurt. He was injured. I'm sure he was disappointed. We don't know how long he was like that. But can you imagine believing that you could be healed, that you'd heard that the healer was in town, and you showed up, standing room only, you can't get in? How many of you have really wanted to go to a concert or really want to see a performer, maybe a play, and when you got there, no more tickets? And did that ever happen to any of you? You get kind of disappointed? You were hoping for something, looking forward to something? Maybe something more serious in your life. Maybe you were hoping to marry the woman of your dreams, and she married someone else. Maybe you were hoping to get into that special college, and if only you got into that college, you would get all the jobs you wanted, and you didn't get accepted. Maybe you were hoping to get that promotion at work, and they didn't look at you, but they bypassed you for someone else. You missed that promotion. All of us have been disappointed in life. All of us have had something that we wanted to happen not take place. It's part of life. We have dreams, we have hopes, and they're dashed. Maybe you've been divorced. Maybe you have physical health problems. Maybe you have broken relationships with other people. Maybe you're stuck in a lifestyle of bad choices. Maybe you can't get freed from doing the same thing over and over. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's some other sexual addiction. Maybe it is the way you treat people. Maybe it's anger. Maybe there's something in your life that you are stuck and you don't feel like you could ever change. Maybe you're afraid of change. Maybe God's calling you to move to a different place, but you just don't feel like you can go. Maybe you feel like you just can't help yourself. You're too tired. You're too tired for making these changes, and you really are depending now on others to bring you the hope that Jesus can give you. You know who you are, but some of you are like that paralyzed man, laying flat, feeling like you can't move forward in life. Jesus has the power to heal us from our past and give us a new life. And I want to thank the ladies who were singing for us and playing music, because The songs that they chose were perfect for today's message. That sometimes we get so short-sighted and we cannot keep focused on the power of God. And we need someone to help bring us to Jesus and remind us that He has the power to heal us, has the power to forgive us. He is the one that can give us hope. The Word says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That was the words of Jesus, to have it more abundantly. Jesus doesn't want us to be stuck. He doesn't want us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to think there is no hope in our future. He came that we can have an abundant life. Back in Joshua, when he was this big commander, but very fearful about taking the promised land, God told him, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That is something we need to remind all ourselves of. All of us have to. Because there are times when we will get discouraged, when we will be paralyzed with fear, when we will not want to change our circumstances. Well, some of you might be a friend of the paralyzed man. Now, friends can help friends, sometimes for a long time. Any of you take care of a friend or a loved one for a long, long time, day in and day out? How many moms or dads are here? Huh? And every day you're taking care of those kids. Every day you're making sure they're fed. When they're babies, you have to make sure that they have clean clothes, clean diapers, day in and day out, taking care of them and their needs. Sometimes we take care of friends just for a short time. Maybe it's an emergency. Maybe their house burned down or they need help with a car, and we can help them for just a short time. We don't know how long the friends of the paralyzed man were in his life, but maybe they'd been taking care of him for a long, long time. And maybe they were getting a little bit tired. That day in and day out trying to help somebody else feel up in their spirits or have hope, that can be wearing. But these men ask the question, what if we got our friend to Jesus? What if our friend knew the love of Jesus, the power of Jesus to heal? And maybe you have a friend like that, that you know you've been praying for, you've been sharing with about Jesus, and they don't seem like they're going to change. Day in, day out, you try to show the love of Jesus, and there maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a child, and they just don't seem like they're going to change. And you feel like quitting. You feel like leaving them on the mat, walking away, and never helping again because you're exhausted. You're tired. But these men said, what if we got him to Jesus? They believed that Jesus could make a difference. They were willing to take the risk of physical injury or rejection. What if the friend said, I'm not going to go through a roof. That's crazy. You're stupid. That's the craziest idea I've ever heard. What if they fell through the roof? What if they got paralyzed in the process of helping their friend? What if you get so depressed being around this person that doesn't know Jesus that you get depressed? But they persisted in reaching Jesus to help their friend. They had an attitude, never give up. Never give up. I want to introduce you to my friend Debbie. I know there's at least one person in this room that knows my friend Debbie. And in the back of the room, Dr. Tua traveled with Debbie on our first trip to China in 2007 with Partners for Life. And Debbie is someone I've known since I was 10. which was a long time ago, okay? And we have been friends for many years, but I became a Christian when I was about 15. Debbie did not believe in Jesus, and I prayed with her, I talked with her, I prayed to God, God, help her to see, help open her eyes. Debbie was very anxious. She was very afraid. She was afraid to be out in public, finally. She had panic attacks. She could not stand before people. She just was so worried about what people thought about her, what would happen to her. She was paralyzed with fear. She actually couldn't go to work some days because she was so fearful, panicked. And then one day she met Jesus. When she was about 40, I had been praying for Debbie for many years, and she wrote me a letter and said, "Will you help me to know Jesus better? Because I know you have prayed for me. I know you have shared with me about Jesus, and you never gave up." There are people in your life like that. What's Debbie doing today? Well, the trip to China was her first mission trip. After that trip, she got the bug, we say. She wanted to keep going to the mission field. She could see we're bringing the news of Jesus to people who had never heard was what she wanted to do. Every year since then, she has done mission trips. She went to Africa. She went to China actually twice, and then she went to Africa and worked with the poor people in Nairobi. Now she's there again in the ghettos of Nairobi, bringing the gospel to people who are dying from AIDS. She, when she was in China, she stood before a group of people a little larger than this on Easter Sunday and shared with them her testimony of how God had changed her life. She wasn't fearful anymore. God had transformed her. And by the grace of God, I was able to see that happen. So hang in there. If you're a friend of someone who's paralyzed, don't give up. Remember the scriptures, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to act for his good according to his good purpose. Freely you have received, freely give. And my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." This is how we can show them Jesus, by the love that we show them. Well, the last group is the observers. It's the people that watch this all take place. They weren't the paralyzed man. They weren't the friends of the paralyzed man, but they watched the miracle. We have all seen miracles happen in other people's lives. And we all have a choice on how we're going to respond to those miracles. As many of you know, 2 years ago this time, I was receiving chemotherapy for cancer. And at that time, I didn't know what God would plan for my life. I didn't know if I would even be here to see my daughter's graduation, to be able to speak before you today. I believe it was a miracle that God has healed me and made it possible for me to be here and to be strong. In the last 2 years, I have been able to travel. I have been able to travel first to Mexico, then to China, then to Guatemala, then to, China again, Spain, and then we're going to be going to Mongolia here in August. And so by the grace of God, I have had the opportunities to bring the gospel to people of many countries. And I know that it was the power of God. These people saw the power of God, and this is their response. "This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" And when you see changes in other people's life and you start to praise God and share that news with others, you can impact the world, a country, a community, a family, even just an individual by sharing what you've heard. Now, some of you are high ranking in your leadership levels. Some of you have a lot of influence over many people at work or outside of work in the community. Some of you feel like you don't have any impact. You might feel like you have no social level. God will use all of us. He has a special place for us. To begin with, let me see if there's anybody visiting here. Is there anybody visiting from China? Anybody visiting today from China? No? Taiwan? Another Asian country? No? Do we have any visitors today at all? No, everybody's that's here is a regular. Good. Well, that means that all of you can impact your community here in the Tri-Cities. Now, to tell you the story of a king, King David, he had a lot of influence in his kingdom, in his world. And he said, as we read in Psalm 62, "My salvation, my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." David encouraged the people of his land to trust in God, and he was very influential. Do I get to brag today? Can I brag? This is my daughter, Serena. She is my baby, and she just graduated from Kennewick High. She did well in school, and she had a lot of leadership positions in clubs on campus, was the vice president of the senior class, and she was salutatorian, so she was able to give a speech at the graduation. I told Serena, I said, "Choose your words carefully. Because this is a gift of God for you to speak before people. And make those words count." There was no prouder moment in my life than when I heard her give her speech in front of 2,000 people. She started to share about that passion within you, the passion to do what you've been designed to do. When she got to the end of her speech, she said, "And don't forget that you are special. That God, she said, "There is someone who loves you and died for you and is dying to reignite that passion within you." So all of a sudden, 2,000 people were utterly silent. Because usually you can't mention anything about God in school or at a graduation. But she took the risk. I guess they couldn't have dragged her off the stage at that point. But she used the position of her leadership and her grades and her intelligence for God's glory. Immediately after the graduation, a teacher came up to her and said, "Could I have a copy of your speech?" She said, "Yeah, you could take this." He said a student had come up to him and said that that speech that Serena gave spoke into their life and was exactly what they needed to hear that day. So perhaps she changed one life, perhaps many. But because she was bold to speak into the community that she was standing before, lives were changed. Now, you might feel like, "Well, I'm not salutatorian. I'm not anybody special." Well, there was a woman at the well, In fact, she was the outcast in her community, and you can read about her life in John. She was not well liked. You see, she had been married many times and divorced, and now she was living with a man, which is not good in that day. Not at all. So she would have to sneak out in the heat of the day and carry big pots of heavy water to get water back to her family so that she wouldn't get ridiculed and made fun of by the other ladies at the well. But she met Jesus there one day. And when she met Jesus, her life was changed. She was unashamed to tell others about Jesus. Whole community changed as they believed in her words about Jesus and came to Jesus. False independence. Now, many of you are sitting there and say, well, she might be talking a lot about dependence on God, but I'm going to be living my life independent. I don't need any crutches. I can do it on my own. I can get into heaven because of the good life I have lived. And some of you might be like that. You might have that American spirit. We can do it on our own. But when I went to China, I saw that it's not just an American spirit. I saw it in China, in Spain, in Guatemala, pretty much all over the world. Everybody wants to do it their way, okay? They don't want to require assistance from anybody. But what do we know? We know that the Bible says all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We know that the wages or the payment for that sin is death. We all deserve to die. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do? We believe that He paid the price. That will free us. That will truly set us free. When we recognize our dependency on God's mercy and grace for our salvation, that's when we're truly free. True independence happens when we depend on Christ. Complete dependency on God frees us from the dependency on things or opinions of others. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free to become all God wants you to be, not to be paralyzed. Free to get off your mat, be forgiven, walk a new life, change lives, bring the gospel to people all over the world. So what describes you? Are you that paralyzed person? Are you the exhausted friend of a paralyzed person, ready to give up? Are you an observer of the miracle of healing? And you've kept it a secret. There's people you haven't told about Jesus, about His changes in your life. We all need the Savior. So what do you need from Jesus today? Do you need a healing so you can be free to be all that He wants you to be? Is there something in your life that you have never forgiven yourself for? Maybe the paralyzed man was guilty of doing something, and as a result, he fell, became paralyzed. Maybe there was someone else that threw him over a cliff, whatever, and he's never forgiven that other person. And he's had years of bitterness and anger, and that has paralyzed him. Jesus wants to heal you today if you're paralyzed by something in the past that you have done or someone has done to you. Maybe you need strength to do what He wants you to do for your life, for the life of someone else. Don't give up. Never give up. Keep believing that Jesus is going to do it. Maybe you need courage to tell others about what He has done in your life. Maybe there's a place that God wants you to go. Maybe He wants you to come with me to Mongolia in August. Maybe He wants to take you out of your comfort zone right here in the Tri-Cities. But maybe there's someone in your office, in your family, a friend, that you need to share with them. about what Jesus has done for you and not keep it a secret. So let's pray. Let's all take a moment right now and pray that God would do the work that He wants to do in our life.